Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line with you until we have another hour together. Tyler Zuli producing the show. We appreciate you all out there listening and contributing. And we can't wait till we don't have to say restart is coming. That we just get to talk about actual games and who's doing what in those games. So, Sixers currently will enter the seeding part of the restart as a sixth seed. Personally, knowing where they can jump to and not fall, they're not going below six. I think that's of least importance. Their chances of getting to the conference finals, for me, Tyler, I have it less than 50%. That's just me.
I think that that's probably a pretty fair number. I think there's four or five teams that could make it. So less than 50, I think, is very fair.
Right, because if I said it was even 50, I would have to be saying they would show me a consistency of play that they did not show me in their games that they did play, right? Which was 82 minus 17, I think, was left. So that's why I have to say less. And the team that I believe is going to be in the conference finals, you know, you have a 50-50 chance of meeting that in the second round. So that's why I had to go less than 50 for me, meaning the Bucks.
My number is actually significantly lower. I will tell you this with the caveat of my number for this go-round is higher than what it would have been if the league would have played through and they'd have made it to the playoffs just naturally.
Mm.
So my number, I think, for this go-round is going to be 25%.
Wow, 25% to get to the...
Yeah, a lot lower. But, like I said, I will tell you, it was probably about 10 or 15...
of getting to the conference finals.
Yeah, when they're, you know, like on March 11th when they stopped playing.
Sure, sure. All right, and then the other part for me, if Joel Embiid is the most impactful player for the Philadelphia 76ers... in the restart through the playoffs, then to me that would change the percentage that I just said. But I don't think he will be the most impactful. I think a tightened amount of time that you have to play every other day changes this. Now, I know, again, it's probably now a month, that Brett Brown said he wants to be able to play Joel Embiid when they came back 38 minutes in the postseason. If in fact that's a reality, that's a game changer. That is a game changer. And it also would say to me, because if you're playing him the 38 minutes, I'm going to assume with the 38 minutes that he's playing healthy, not having injury issues, not having conditioning issues. That would be a game changer. Unfortunately, what I think is going to happen is that there will be an up and down to him. And I think Keith Pompey brought up a legitimate concern with Ben's back that I had not really considered. And again, it's the playing every other day. And maybe you're not playing those two guys much in these eight games and you're saving them for the postseason. I don't know if that's good or bad. I can't decide. And we'll see what their thoughts are on that. But I think the person that's going to walk away being the one that gave you the consistency is going to be Tobias Harris. And I don't think it's... I know he gets the most flack, and it's probably because of the contract. We've heard the number a couple times here today, $180 million. But I think he will be the guy who delivers his numbers, his role, the most consistent. And I don't think that's good enough for them to be able to play at the highest level with the other teams in this league if he's your most consistent guy. That's my belief.
I think that that's probably fair. So he averaged 19-7 for the season. What does he have to get to?
I don't think Tobias isn't my problem.
Okay.
His rebounds were only seven?
I I believe so. I'll take a look, but I think that's what it was.
All right. I would have thought that was higher. He's capable of rebounding higher, but if that's the case, that would be because they spread their rebounding out greater, I would imagine. Embiid would be double figures. Ben was up real 9. All right, he might be 7. Anyhow, no, what I need is for the other two to be consistently at the same consistent level that I have a Tobias. I cannot have a disappearing act offensively from a Ben Simmons. I can't have a Ben who, because of the back injury, is afraid to attack the rim, which is one of his strengths, because he doesn't want to get hit, right? I mean, we've saw, you know, when that was in Milwaukee when he went down, that, you know, if he has any part of that that's still lingering, that changes this. So it's not so much Tobias doesn't have to give me more. I need to get more consistently, basically, out of Joel Embiid. And because I just don't have the faith of what I'm going to get out of him on a consistent basis, that's why if you look around, everybody else that you say has a chance to either be in their conference finals or be in the finals, it's because you know their main man is going to show up and be the main man, whether that's Giannis. I guess the only one that I would say is with Toronto, who is that? They seem somehow to do it so collectively. And to me, that's a culture that has been built by Nick Nurse.
I think that even with that, and they are a great team, even with that, when you need the guy to be the guy, it'll be Pascal Siakam.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And he's delivered. I mean, absolutely delivered. And if we go to the Western Conference, I mean, we know it's LeBron. We know it's Kawhi. So when I come to this team, Sixers, I can't be sure of that. And I think that's fair on my part. Kevin's with us on the cell. Kevin, how are you? Thanks for calling Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
All right. With this question, I'm going to use a caveat by saying, health is no issue, everybody healthy.
Okay.
If the Sixers draw Boston, to me, they have a 15% chance.
Oof.
If they wind up beating Boston, they have a 75% chance. The reason why I say that is this. The Sixers' primary Achilles heel is perimeter defense. Boston has 4 players on the perimeter who can get their own shot at any time. The Sixers doesn't have 4 defenders who could defend those 4 players.
Mm.
They really only have 2.
So Ben for sure, and I'm assuming Josh Richardson you're giving.
Exactly.
Yep.
Now, you got Kemba Walker, you got Jason Tatum.
You got Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, and you got Marcus Smart.
Marcus, to me, is up and down offensively for them, because I think his greatest contribution for them, though he has definitely played offensively well against the Sixers at times, but he doesn't scare me as much.
But who's going to defend him where he could take advantage of them?
No, I agree.
Now, if they get past Boston, now it becomes strength versus strength. The inside, outside game that everybody else play, the pick and roll that everybody else want to play, whereas the Sixers can then play their game and more or less try to dictate flow and tempo against anybody else.
So anybody else.
Right. I just think Boston with their 4 perimeter players.
Yeah, it's a different challenge for them.
Right.
I got you.
So
I'm curious, because I did start this show out by saying I think you have to look more at matchup than you do about where you are in the seeding, because quite frankly, the seeding means nothing on a neutral court when you are, you know, talking about not 1 versus 8, it certainly means something. But when you're in this middle of 4, 5, 6, I think it's very, who you match up better with in that first round would be most advantageous.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I think. So it wouldn't matter if it's a 6-3, provided that the 6-3 matchup is more what goes to your strengths as opposed to a 4-5.
Exactly.
Yep.
I hear you. I think Boston is that one team where they can't defend them. They just can't.
And the irony is that's the one team the Sixers actually have played consistently well this year. Now, again, it was all before now, but...
But I look at that as game to game, one game, but now you're looking at a series.
Yep, I hear you.
Adjustments.
Yep.
And playing the same team over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And who knows if Boston was three games and four nights, back-to-back, last game of a road trip, things of that nature that goes into play in the NBA season with your record versus now Brad Stevens can just focus on them.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. Kevin, are you looking forward to this, and do you think it gets to play itself completely out, meaning given all the challenges that the bubble and COVID-19 present going in?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I hope so.
So do I.
But I really don't think that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm getting that feeling more and more. But I'm with you. I'll be cautiously optimistic until I see otherwise.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Please be safe. Have a wonderful weekend.
Kevin, thanks for calling us. You too. Have a great weekend, and we appreciate the phone call here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Interesting. I see what he's saying. So the only thing I will say about the four perimeter, as he was pointing out with Boston, is, so let's just say, obviously, somebody takes somebody off the dribble and, you know, you need to recover, switch, however you want to say. If you have the true Embiid, I think his presence as a rim protector cannot go understated. But again, that goes back to my thing. I wish we had enough evidence of what we could expect. If you think about it, so it's only been 2 years, right, of playoff basketball, but we've never had the healthiest Embiid, and there's always something that's happened with his that's prevented him from having the best performance consistently in the postseason. So, and some of it also has been what people have done defensively. Now, experience should say that shouldn't continue to always be the problem. And when we did look at some of the Toronto, back when we were remembering this day in this series, I want to say it was game 7. He had a good second half. It was definitely game 7. Because I remember talking to Tom McGinnis about it. He had a very good scoring second half, maybe fourth quarter more so than third. I'm not sure. But I remember watching those highlights and saying, I hadn't remembered it like that. But I think he needs to be what a Giannis and a LeBron and a Kawhi, what they are to their teams, he must prove to be to this team in these postseason games. So, we'll see. We will definitely see. But I would agree that if, in fact, the Sixers as a group, I would agree with Kevin that after the Celtics, he feels like that matchup challenges them defensively different. Now, I did mention earlier that they were the best defensive team in the league. And if we think that coming off of rust and having these, you know, hurdles to jump because of the pandemic, one thing you can do with defense is you can rely on that because it's will, it's grit. And if you were already good at it, that's not leaving you. You know, maybe your offense takes longer time to catch up. That's usually the case in the beginning of the year after training camp. And that's what I think this will look like in the beginning. I just don't know how you can look sharp having not played for 3+ months. Actually, it'll be more. It'll be March till August. Jeez, is that 5 months? It's close to it. All right, let's check in with Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, how are you? And thanks for calling The Fanatic.
How's it going, D?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. Of course, the thing is that we have these sports.
I know.
It seems like the news is getting better. And like the mask, that should be an easy thing. It's not hard to do.
I know.
Don't strain your earlobe or your ears. Not going to hurt you.
And somehow it's difficult somehow for people to do. Not a lot. I mean, there's plenty who do it, but the people who don't, I really don't understand.
Bad one. I still, but now I'm just walking my dog, and it's like I realize, wait, I don't have a mask, but hopefully I don't see anybody. I keep my distance. Usually my dog helps me with that. He just barks at everybody.
Perfect. That keeps people away.
Yeah, I'm very, and he's not a vicious dog at all.
That's all right. Like, they don't need to know that. Come on, Mitch. They need to know he's a little scary.
He's more bark. He's all bark than bite.
Yes.
Maybe they should just have it stapled to you. The mask I'm talking about. The mask just should be stapled to your face and your drastic measures. But I love to see Sixers and Clippers. Both don't.
Wow! In the finals,
odds. Vito Barras, how's it going against his old team? The West is tougher. My Clippers. They have the Lakers. I think LeBron is on a mission. He wants a ring as a Laker.
Yes.
Maybe retire as one. And he's got Anthony Davis. And then you got to watch out for Denver. I think
Denver is an interesting one because Jokic, at least the pictures I've seen, he looks like he's in excellent shape, and that was not the case when the pandemic started.
Now, which one? I always get these mixed up. They were trades for each other. Which
yeah, so the other one is Jokic. Jokic and Jokic.
Now, one of them tested positive. I know he'll be back to health, but I don't think it'd be 100%. I'm lucky that none of us have to know Corona personally. Hopefully, knock on wood. But which one got the Corona and has to wait 2 weeks, get quarantined? Hopefully,
That was the Denver guy.
The Denver guy.
Yeah,
so
the other guy plays for Portland.
Yeah, he's coming off a broken leg.
Correct.
And Portland's got a big front. And,
yes.
I mean, the Sixers kind of tried it, but I think well, it seems like a year ago the basketball was. I forget his name. Horford. No, he's had a pretty good career, but he's got a little long in the tooth. Maybe they were trying to copy Portland with Whiteside, Nurkov, and there's another fellow, young kid.
You mean out in Portland?
Out in Portland, they
have
Whiteside, Nurkov, and Zach Collins.
Yeah, Zach Collins. Yeah, the problem for Portland is similar to if you look at Miami in the East. But except for Portland is trying to get into the playoff picture, is they have a difficult schedule. Everybody on their 8-game schedule has a better than .500 record.
Well, it is tough. And they do have a good backcourt with CJ
and Dillard.
Damian
Lillard. Listen to me.
Yeah,
I combined his name.
I'm a bad influence on you today.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But Tobias Harris, I like his game. Play a lot of positions, and from the beat, you just hope it could be more of Shaq. That's a bit of a stretch there to be more player by Shaq, but be more like Shaq than Daryl Dawkins. I mean, like Daryl Dawkins, he underachieved, but he was a great player. He had more. I think Embiid has more. I don't know, ambition, but he's had more injuries so far. But hopefully, he plays more like Shaq than Daryl Dawkins.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You didn't know what you got. I met him a few times, and it's a shame that he passed away. And so it's already been more than a few years, right?
Yes. They've had a number of their front court players who have passed at a younger age.
Yeah, Moses Malone.
Yeah, Moses. I'm trying to think. There've been a couple of them.
Well, when I met Daryl Dawkins, down in Belmar, was my friend there, and he was sitting down. And I said, "He looks familiar. He's sitting down. And he's still taller than me." But I'll let you go out there. Yeah, thanks a lot, D.
All right, Mitch, have a great day. He was a big man. I'm trying to think. There was one earlier this year of a guy who played, and I want to say he was in his early 60s who also passed. I'll have to go through, but there were a number of, they've been hit hard in that regard. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Cisco in Bluebell. Cisco, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I hope you're doing the same.
I am. Thank you.
I have a quick question. I ain't going to hold you too long. But
no problem.
The NBA was talking about bringing back the 2021 season Christmas Day.
Yes.
Why did they decide on December 1st instead?
Because in the conversations with the Players Association, the players felt that when they start a season, they're not at their best yet, which I understand, and that Christmas Day has become such a big part of the NBA, and actually a lot of people consider it part of their Christmas Day festivities. And mm-hmm. they wanted some time, some games under their belt so that they would be playing better basketball than if that had been opening night.
I got you. Now, how would this coincide with players wanting to play in the Olympics that are foreign players?
Right. So it's an excellent question by you. That is of concern if they wanted to keep this schedule moving forward, because in this case, if they do December 1st, the end would be August, and I don't know the exact date, August something.
Yes.
So it's a problem, because I'm not going to say it's totally overlapping. I'd have to see when next year's the Olympics, let's just assume they're going to be played next year in China. What that start date, but that was something that was brought to my attention because I had heard that there were a number of NBA people who really liked the concept of having a December to August calendar. And it was brought to my attention. They said, well, they might have to rethink that because they have a high number of foreign players who take their commitment to their national teams, not just every 4 years, but every summer. They take that commitment to their national team very seriously and participate in world championships and the like. So that would definitely impact them. I will really look forward to see how those conversations proceed.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I love the December starting date. I love going into the end of the season being August.
Yes.
I can go into the NFL after that.
Exactly. It's perfect.
So, Dee, one really important question.
Yes, sir.
How's Jim doing?
My father is doing excellent. I talked to him on my way here today, actually.
Good,
so.
Good.
Yes, I appreciate it.
I hear Lionel, I'm listening.
Yeah, he's doing, I actually had him on last week, Cisco, for Father's Day, which was kind of fun for me.
Oh, nice.
Yes, so, but I appreciate you asking about him. I hope you're healthy and safe as well.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Matt, you're up next on the other side, and then we'll get to Jack. I want to give you your full time. We're talking NBA return, and, you know, there's a lot of pluses to it. There's some scariness to it as well. And as Adam Silver, who is the commissioner, has said, you can't outrun the coronavirus. So they're going to just be as prepared as possible, and they will deal with things as they come at them, but they will deal with them as smartly as they can be. And they have really put in a plan that is, it's excellent, but it does require people to do the right thing and do what they've been instructed to do, and been, you know, kind of given guidelines to do. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Close to 6:30 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope you're enjoying the Saturday part of your weekend. It's a nice day out there, for sure. Let's go back to the phones and get to Matt in Burlington. Matt continues the NBA conversation. Matt, how are you? And thanks for calling.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
I just have a quick question. Whoever wins the championship this year,
yes,
is there going to be an asterisk next to that, do you think?
I don't believe so, but I will go with that based on the shortened seasons that have crowned a champion in the past. 99 always comes to mind, and that one was won by San Antonio. It doesn't have an asterisk next to it, but you can see by the record that it was a 50-game season. And maybe the reason that we don't consider that an asterisk is because the San Antonio Spurs have five titles And so they continued to show...
They just gets lost in it, yeah.
Yeah, they continued to show their greatness. If a person or a team, I should say, is a one and done in terms of winning this year, mm-hmm. I can see where that becomes a conversation years down the road. Well, they could only do it in the bubble. They could not do it in, you know, other circumstances. But I think if the team that is crowned a champion in this continues to go on and be a team that, you know, does other great things, I don't think there's an asterisk.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if LeBron wins, I feel, obviously that's not a one and done, but I feel like they could use that again.
Well, for instance, I don't think it will be held against Giannis.
Because I don't either.
Right. The LeBron will be because it'll be always the conversation of how many he had versus how many Kobe, Jordan, all of that. So that's why that would be that part of the conversation. And it'll just create two sides to it. But personally, I mean, I think we're going to see to win this championship will require different skill sets like focus and, you know, not having a home court advantage. Mm-hmm. Though all of those things, while they're different, they can require, you know, a greater set of skills than what the normal thing would be.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree.
That's just the way I see it. But I'm sure there are others who view it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one more question.
Yes.
About a team out west.
Yes.
How do you think the Rockets and James Harden are going to end up doing?
I think James Harden and as individually always seems to perform well, whether it's regular season, postseason. I'm not a huge fan of the makeup of that particular Rockets team, certainly from a defensive standpoint. I thought their team 2 years ago was a pretty good defensive team for who we think of the Rockets, and they're not at that caliber this year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I think in the postseason, I don't care how the layoff, whatever you want to call it, that'll impact some things, but at the end of the day, you better have some strong defense if you're going to, Matt. I appreciate it. Yeah, to me, and that was one of the unique things about that Rockets team 2 years ago. I'd have to go and look at the roster because they've had some significant changes, and I'd have to think of why defensively that year they were significantly better than we think of D'Antoni teams. 610-632-0975. You know one thing, Tyler, that has not been talked about much? It was like hinted of people who are of an older age, and part of the conversation has completely turned over the last couple of weeks because now the number of people testing positive has gone to so much of a younger age. But I haven't heard from anybody who's a coach or on a coaching staff to get a feel if they have their own concerns. Now, again, they can kind of distance from others. Even when you're coaching in a gym, you can be at a distance and get your message across. So I'm gathering that most of them feel comfortable. I haven't heard of anybody who's not going in. And I guess the only people who wouldn't is if they have some kind of compromised immune situation. Let's check in with Jack. Jack, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Good, Dave. How are you?
Doing great.
Dave, earlier in your show, you mentioned the summer leagues like Narberth and Rushden and so on and so forth.
Yeah, Narberth and Rucker Park, I think I said.
Rucker Park, yeah. Okay. 34 years ago, I was catching passes from Brother H in the Ocean City.
Oh, my. Were they the 6th Street courts in Ocean City?
6th Street, Ocean City.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Or I assume 6th Street. It could have been 34th Street.
Well, the great pickup games are always at 34th.
Right, but the league was the 6th Street. Yeah, because yeah. I played in the 6th Street one also.
Okay, good for you.
Well, Stephanie Vanderslice was very kind to me I don't know if I got like drafted, picked. She allowed me, somehow I got on her team and I was able to play. I was pretty young still, but
she could play, that's for sure.
All the Vanderslices, but she could play for sure.
She could really play, yeah. But my Sixers point.
Yes.
I think, D, this is a total toss-up, throw it up in the air, let's see who wants it more than anybody else. Because These guys, like, they've been off for 3 months now, whatever, but their normal 3 months off are right now. So.
All right. Now, yes. I see what you're saying.
Their biorhythms are kind of out of whack, and if they got to compete, and then.
Right. And I would say this, the 3 months that they have had off, I would not consider a vacation. For the most part, I'm not saying I've followed everybody and what they've done with their lives, but.
Right. No, I wouldn't say so either. But
yeah. And it's been a limbo. It's been a limbo feeling. Yes.
You know, June, July are relaxing months because come August, you got to start getting ready for training camp.
Sure.
But that's a whole nother story. But I think the Sixers got as good a shot as anybody because they got players.
Yes,
and
they do.
Players play no matter what. So, it's going to be a hell of a, what's it going to be, 5 weeks or something?
It's 91 days.
91 days. Wow. That's going to be interesting.
Wait, 91 days is...
from like tomorrow, next week when they fly out.
Right. It's counting that beginning part also. Right, but, so I mean, once you're in, you know, the game part of it, take 2 weeks off of that, right, from the 13th,
yeah.
I was saying, to
so
the
right
first
down to 75 days.
17th, yeah.
So,
sure.
A lot of games, and, you know.
And it's a lot of playing every other day. I mean,
exactly.
Now, I will tell you this. Back in, you know, when they did that in the playoffs before TV ruled everything, and when you did play every other day, there were a lot of players who preferred it that way. They hated that you played a Sunday and then you didn't play till Wednesday, or, you know, it could go Saturday to Wednesday. I think that there are some that will appreciate the every other day schedule.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, those teams got to get into the rhythm very quickly and stay in the rhythm and, you know, just gut it out to the wall.
Yeah, let's just say there's not really any time to get in a slump.
Right, exactly. You can't go through ebbs and flows.
No.
You got to have the ebb, and that's it.
Yep. You got to get it going on quickly or try something different.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Exactly.
All right, Dawson, you have a nice weekend. And
thanks.
Tell Brother H, Jack Rabbit said hello.
Yep.
And thanks for all the assists he gave me.
I was just going to say, I'm sure you scored, so I'm sure you had him high in the assist column.
Well, I was a wing guy, D, and he was the guy you wanted in the middle with the rock if you were a wing guy.
Absolutely.
Because he could get it to you.
Drawing
like
attention.
Could.
Drawing attention. Thanks, Jack.
Exactly. That guy's a fan.
I appreciate the phone call. Man, I like when people bring up pickup basketball. Do you ever go to Ocean City, New Jersey?
No.
Okay. So he specifically was talking about a league. And as soon as he said in Ocean City, I knew there was only one place where there was a league, but 34th Street does have the best pickup basketball. And when he was talking about a person delivering the rock, that was my brother. So, my brother played college hoops.
He could hoop a little bit too?
Yeah, he played at Delaware.
That's not a little bit.
Yeah,
that's collegially. That's a lot of bit.
H got game. Absolutely. That was just fun that somebody would drop a little knowledge on me about back in the day, summer league in the amateur style. All right, so we have people who are a little more optimistic in terms of it could be anybody's game when the restart happens. By the way, Tyler, you have the belief that I don't think anything happens in the East in terms of the Wizards aren't getting in, that we know.
No.
And I think the most shakeup that we see is a possible 4, 5, and 6 jump around a little bit.
Yeah, I think you could see Miami maybe slide because of their tough schedule relative to the Sixers' fairly easy schedule. You may see the Sixers get up to 5.
May, but I always say 8 games and you're making up 2 and they don't play each other.
Right. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. And they don't play each other. So that's the one. But out west, I'm trying to, it goes around in my head. Is Memphis going to be the 8th seed? And I think they will be so focused, fierce, because the whole thing was set up for them to not be the 8th seed.
Oh, I mean, there's
they
nothing.
They should be mad because it's Memphis. It's not a big TV market. It doesn't involve Zion.
The NBA desperately wants New Orleans in the playoffs.
They do, but you can't rig it. I mean,
they're going to try their best.
Well, they have. They've set it up. I don't know if you were paying attention when I gave you one statistic. With Zion in the lineup, they've won 53% of their games. Without him, that number is 40%.
Huge difference.
Yeah. So, you know, could they go 8-0? That's the other thing. Could somebody run the table on those 8 games? You'd have to be motivated to have to make a move, because otherwise I think teams would be resting players. I think. It's not what Adam Silver wants, but that's what I think.
I think you're going to need to see a team like the Sixers, who have something to play for, start off like 3-0, and watch the Heat fall to 1-2 to start.
I got
it. Then all of a sudden it's even ground for 5 games.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see. 610-632-0975. So I like this. We've come full circle, because I was excited when I got on the air today about the restart and having seen the schedule and the possibilities of what that schedule and seeing basketball again could be. And then we kind of got pulled down a little bit because the numbers of the coronavirus and the risks involved in restarting sports, you know, they're not there. They are. But now I feel like, you know, we're talking again about what can be from the sports standpoint. And if people are responsible, that this can be done. It can be done. It can be done safely. Kevin, you're up next on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you for one more segment here on the show with producer Tyler Zuli. And Tyler, we kind of asked the people, because the NHL draft lottery last night ended up with, I forget what they called the people that were the teams, the 8 teams, and one of them landed or will land that top spot.
They're calling them the placeholders. Placeholder teams.
I thought that was only for when you're setting the table for dinner. You have a placeholder?
I guess an NHL team could be the same.
Yes, the placeholder. I will say this. The second lottery for that will be fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
There is some drama,
too.
Could
be a good team end up with the number one overall pick.
Including Pittsburgh, by the way. So anyhow, we said, do you like draft lottery because the NHL and the NBA do this? Or should they go back to the worst team gets the best, you know, the top pick, and do it in that order? What did the people say?
So we've got 275 votes on this one. 54% say worst team gets the first pick. 46% say stick with the draft lottery.
Huh.
Close.
Yeah. So I think they're saying the first team, or meaning that, yeah, the worst gets the first is because it's fair. And they don't care about tanking. Or, I mean, they don't think that the tanking isn't as bad as you should be able to improve your situation if you're the worst. I hear you. I mean, that's basically how San Antonio ended up with Tim Duncan and Dave Robinson, because they were the worst. When Robinson was hurt that year, they get the first pick. Duncan is the first pick. And now you have years of...
And then the Sixers take Keith Van Horn.
Did you have to remind us?
I'm sorry, I had to do it.
He was a nice guy, just not the player that you were hoping. You know, really, if you think about it, so that year they ended up with Keith Van Horn. The year that, I don't know how much, though, John Wall ended up being that, but the second pick, and they have Evan Turner. I mean, Evan's had a nice career, but it's not second pick in the draft kind of career.
The one player draft really hurts you. Now, obviously, Paul George emerged as probably the second best player, maybe the best player.
Yes.
But he went, what, 15? 15, something like that.
Giannis is 15. Paul was probably around 13.
You weren't going to take Paul George at 2.
Not from Fresno State, no. No way. Maybe nowadays your scouting would be different. But yeah, no. All right, let's check in with Kevin in Maple Shade. Kevin, thank you for calling the Fanatic. How are you?
Hey, D, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right.
All right. I was just giving you a call, excited for the NBA to come back.
I'm excited, too.
Just checking in with you to see what you were expecting the Sixers' rotation to be, I guess, for the opening I guess, the seven games or whatever it's going to be, and then come playoffs.
Well, I mean, you and I both know that a shortened rotation, generally speaking, has been the most successful for teams that go deep into the playoffs. Now, I don't know if this situation will be different because of the significant layoff and then only 2 weeks of gameplay to get ready for the postseason. I don't know how that impacts your rotation, if at all. Personally, I think I would hope you could still have an eight-man rotation, because I think your best players should be playing significant minutes, if healthy. So that would be my first thing. And the second thing is, and I imagine we'll learn quite quickly when they do get back to playing games, is he going to change his starting lineup in the last game before everything got shut down? He actually had Al Horford and Embiid both in the starting lineup, and we felt like he was going away from that. Now, he didn't have Ben because Ben had the sore back. So, Shake's out there, Horford, Embiid, Josh, and Tobias. But I think the first and foremost, you must decide what you want to do in terms of your starting lineup. And I don't think that should be something you alter, you know, by matchup as you go, not your starting lineup. You can alter who you're bringing in off the bench and whatnot, but I think you got to decide on that. And then whoever you decide, if it's Shake in the starting lineup, Horford obviously becomes your first guy off the bench. If you go back to your original plan from the start of the season, Shake has to be in the rotation.
Yeah. There's two things I'm really looking at. During the season, one game really caught my eye. Against the Rockets in January, and it was the first time I really saw Brett play Ben in like that pick and roll at the four.
Sure.
When Ben really started really ducking to the basket, and they used him in the pick and roll. He was they really started exploiting that, and I felt like that really, really started to work. I would love to see that with him and Shake a lot more.
Well, I think, you might see it with him and Shake also, because I did bring that up. You know, we've had a rare couple of conference calls where you can pick his brain and what he's doing with his pandemic time, he being Brett Brown. So that he wants to use him more like that, absolutely. I think you'll also see it with him and Josh Richardson. But I hear what you're saying. If you're going to put the ball in somebody's hands, personally, and it's not Ben, personally, I think Shake is a more comfortable combo guard than I felt that we saw with Josh. Now, it could be because Josh had a number of different injuries, and we never got to see the best of what Josh can be. I would say that Shake, to me, and I also am a little biased because I spent a lot of time covering him in his previous year, and I saw his development, and I saw his handle get better in his time in the G League. So I actually think he's a reliable ball handler.
Right. And I'm also interested in seeing with the bubble and there not being fans there, if we can, you know, there was a big change in Korkmaz from his 3-point shooting at home
versus the road.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see if he can get in a groove in that bubble.
Well, so what we have to convince him is that this is more home than it is road.
and that's funny you say that, Dee, because the whole team at that aspect, like, they were such a better team at home. If they get comfortable there, you know, and they're living there, it sounds weird to say that.
No, but I hear you. Sure.
Yeah, they can get, you know, and get comfortable playing there. It could turn into one of those things where they, you know, are like, hey, you know, this is our new home and we're playing here every night and getting one of those groups.
Sure, because you are correct. I mean, theirs is drastic. 29-2 at home versus 10-24 on the road. I mean, I was listening to Kendrick Perkins on ESPN this morning, and he said they were a lottery team away from the Wells Fargo Center. And, you know, it sounds like he's being insulting. He wasn't wrong. So if they can find, clearly they loved playing at their home court, and a lot of times they gave tremendous credit to the fan base that they have, and that's worthy. But if they can find a mentality that says, this is my home court for these next, you know, 3 months, then I agree with you, because they have shown when they are mentally comfortable, they clearly can be a different team.
Yeah, and a lot of those road games that they lost, like that Miami game, like where Embiid had the ball at half court.
Yep.
And it was just mental things that it's like, I think a lot of that stuff was in their own head. And then a lot of the home games, you know, it's a few bounces here and a few bounces there that unfortunately had us in the sixth seed. But, you know, I'm comfortable where we're at. I mean, I'd love to play Indiana in the first round if we can, but, you know, I feel we match up great with Boston. You know, I feel like, you know, Brett has something to prove there. So,
to play Indiana, you would have to, have both of you move. So you'd need it to be a 4-5 matchup.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where's Indiana's in the four now?
No, Indiana's in the fifth, and they have the identical record with the Sixers. That's why the irony of this, the first game out of the gate is against Indiana, and that's a full game swing between those two teams. It's probably the most meaningful game that they have. And the other part of that is it could determine if you do have an identical record at the end of this. Indiana, if you don't win that game, Indiana has that series 3-1.
Yeah,
so,
we owe them one from that New Year's Eve.
Right, but the problem is it is the first game on your schedule. So, but it's the first for them, too.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, so if there's rust, it's rust all the way around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Dee, well.
All right, Kevin, well, yeah, you too. I look forward to when we can talk about having seen something actually happen.
Yeah, it's coming quick. It'll be here before we know it.
It will. Kevin, thank you for the phone call. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too.
All right, thanks for calling the Fanatic. We are out of time. And we'll be back here tomorrow morning. Mr. Joe Stazak actually has helped me out so I can attend a family affair.
Oh, we're not together?
We're not together.
For like the first time in,
I know.
It's like 2 months.
It is. And then I won't see you next weekend, you told me, because...
You will not.
I know, because you're going to go do the Mikey Mist show on Friday next week.
Yeah, it'll be myself and Jason.
I know. I'll watch you on TV.
I hope we're on TV. I haven't heard yet.
Right. I see what you're saying because it is a holiday, but I got news for you. I think you'll be on TV. I think so.
That'd be cool.
So thank you, Tyler, for all the work you do behind that glass there. And thank you to the callers out there. We had some fun today. And I'm glad we ended up on some positiveness. Felt a little better. And I'll come back and talk to you all tomorrow morning. Between now and then, you'll get to listen to Rob Motti coming up next here on The Fanatic. I hope you had a great day, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And thank you again for listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.